Hey, everybody, Trev here. Before you listen to today's episode of the podcast, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to look at what you're listening to. We have recently created a new podcast feed for the flagship show. It is called the Struggling Artist Podcast. Right now, you may be listening to us on the Struggling Artist Podcast archive. So everything prior to this episode that you're going to listen to now is on the archive. I did not want to delete the archive completely. I wanted it to be up still. So to fix that, we have to make this new one. But after 2 weeks, there'll be no new episodes on the archive. So you're going to have to resubscribe to us on whatever platform you use. I'm sorry. It was the only way I knew how to do it, with keeping everything on the internet, as well as bringing you new episodes through our new host, which is hosted by the website, thestrugglingartistpodcast.com. I really do apologize for that, and it's a minor inconvenience. I know. I'm sorry. But in the long run, this is going to be better for everything that we do moving forward. Again, and I wanted to keep the archive on the platforms so people could listen to them. Now, if you're listening to this right now, and the platform your platform that you use doesn't have the Struggling Artist Podcast, it only has the Struggling Artist Podcast archive, let me know, trev@thestrugglingartistpodcast.com, and I will make sure we get to that platform as well. I know this is a minor inconvenience, but in the long run, it is going to be so much better for the podcast, for all of you, and we've got a lot of exciting things moving forward that we kind of felt limited to with using Buzzsprout. So again, please subscribe to the Struggling Artist Podcast and take a look to make sure you're subscribed to that and not the Struggling Artist Podcast archive. Thanks, guys. See ya.
You're listening to the Struggling Artist Podcast.
People need to be entertained. They need the distraction.
With your host, Trev Allen.
I wish to God that somebody would do something to block out the voices in my head for 5 minutes.
Well, I wasn't going to do an intro for this, but I am. You know, I am. I changed things up just a little bit. I was going to play all the voicemails that we got for, this is the anniversary show, and I was going to play all the voicemails that we got at the end, but this episode is so friggin' long. I want to make sure that they get heard. So they're going to be in the beginning of this episode. We're going to get to those in just a second, but, I don't know. I say it a million times. I'm going to say it again. Thank you to everybody who supports us. And 2024, I my mind is blown that we're here and how far the podcast has gone and all the projects we have coming up and the things we're going to be able to do coming up. It's much appreciated to everybody. All right, we're going to start playing these voicemails now because, like I said, this is like a two-hour episode. this is definitely for the listeners. If you're tuning in for the first time, you're definitely not going to be you're definitely not going to like this episode. This is like a fan, like kind of a fan thing. This is me fanning out over the podcast. But this is more for like the listeners. This is just a fun episode. Bunch of guests hop in. You know, we do something different every year. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Let's kick off with, like I said, with these voicemails.
What's up? This is New England punk rocker Dave Strong.
Oh, Dave.
Thank you so much for all your support and happy anniversary. I just want to thank you for everything you've done for me for the last couple of years. And I want you to keep on rocking. And congratulations. I love you guys. Keep it up. Happy anniversary.
Dave Strong's self-titled album is out. You guys should pick it up. It's an awesome, awesome vinyl record. He's a good guy. First demos I ever heard came from him.
Hey, nerds. It's Bree from Allegedly Records. I wanted to pop in and say thanks for a year of awesome episodes. And thank you for giving me a platform to talk about my label and our bands. And thanks for giving my bands the opportunity to talk about their music. We love you. Thanks for everything, guys.
We love Bree Myers as well. Punk around to find out her new thing.
Hey, everyone. It's Growler from Thou Merciless Graves. I wanted to call in for the anniversary episode, but instead I'm at a rest stop in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, sorry about that. But I just wanted to say how much I've enjoyed listening to The Struggling Artist the last couple of years and how much I've discovered so much new music that I am really grateful for in my life. And I'm so happy anniversary and keep at it. You're the reason I get out of bed on Monday. And I also, sometimes when I think about Struggling Artists, I think about the most New England line I think anybody has ever delivered, because when Aria was talking about the Farmer's Almanac and described it as tarot for people who do manual labor. Yeah. And I think about that line at least once a week. So keep it up and happy anniversary, and I'll talk to y'all later.
Growler from Thou Merciless Graves. Absolutely love Growler. Such a good friend.
Trev, man, I know they're making soupy.
Oh, Jesus.
Down in Westerly, and I need some
this
of that,
guy.
Man. I need some of that soupy. I mean, how do I get it, man? If you want to pimp me out like Robert Downey Jr. in Less Than Zero, I'll do it, man. You know, I'll take
what
care of
reference.
Your clients for just one stick of that sweet, sweet soupy. Dude, give me some of soupy, man. All right, I love you. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, Mike Hsu. We love Mike Hsu. Mike Hsu has been on this podcast before, and he's left. Actually, this was much more tame than the last message he left about needing more soupy. He was on WAAF out of Boston. He is now on 100 FM The Pike out of Worcester. He does the morning show. You guys should check him out. Radio. Terrestrial radio, there's still some good stuff out there. We love Mike Hsu. I got you, buddy.
What's up, Trev? This is Dan, your cousin.
My cousin.
Host of the Movie Seller Podcast. Got to put that plug in for my show, you know. Anyway, I just wanted to congratulate you, man, on another fucking year of doing this thing. The Struggling Artist Podcast is an awesome show. It's a part of my regular rotation. And, dude, I just want to thank you for all the awesome bands that you've given a platform to, and more selfishly, all the awesome bands that you have given me an opportunity to hear for the first time that now I, you know, listen to on a regular basis. So a couple shout outs that I want to make in regard to bands that you've had on that I thought were really fucking cool. Tisk, Tisk, Tisk. I think that was back earlier
tisk, tisk,
in 2023. Love that crew, that girl punk vibe. That's a great energy. The artist known as Tim, you've had that dude on a couple times, had him on this year. That song you did with that, you played his at the end of that episode, something about the blood or whatever, man, that is a banger, man. That is a great song. And lastly, the band you had on last week, fucking Miracle Blood, those guys.
Well, at least you remember
those guys are legit, man. That is some good stuff. So, yeah, man, keep you're doing the Lord's work, and we all appreciate it. I also want to congratulate you on another year of being nominated for a Boston Music Award, dude. I know that like it's probably frustrating to not win, but whatever. Like, just the fact that you're nominated, just the fact that like you're in these conversations. You should be really fucking proud of that, dude. That is amazing. Also, obviously, the record club. I love what you're doing.
Should have just came on the show, Dan.
There, man. I love the passion that you have for music and how it comes through in the packages that you put together. Your record club members are getting much more than their money's worth when they sign up. Cause like you really put your heart and soul into it, and it's very cool.
He's just blowing smoke on my ass.
And lastly, love the roundtable shows, the Bandcamp Fridays, all that stuff. But most importantly, my dude, the spreadsheet, adding the spreadsheet to the roundtable shows, game fucking changer, man. Being able to go and look at all the bands and all the stuff that you guys recommended in the episode is huge. So I don't know whose idea that was, but great fucking idea to that person. And anyway, dude, sorry I couldn't come on the anniversary show live. got basketball games and shit to attend to, you know, with all those, all the kids I got running around. But wanted to at least call in and congratulate you. And looking forward to lots of great stuff in 2024. And hopefully we can hang out, maybe collab a little bit and do some cool stuff together. Yeah. But either way, man, keep on keeping on. And love you, man. Later.
I love you too, Cousin Dan. That was really sweet of him. Long-winded, much like his podcast, The Movie Seller. But it was worth every second of it. I guess what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the beginning and I'm going to cut out when I was talking about the round table Excel sheet, because we don't need all this extra time. All right, so this next thing came from Katie Hugo Dykes. She runs the Fest scavenger hunt, and she had left me this in this very sweet story. And I know it's a little long, and I know this episode's long, but you know, I want to give it attention to everybody who reached out. And this story is just it's too sweet of a story not to play. So here we go.
So my first Fest was Fest 14. I went by myself. I was engaged to someone else at the time. We split up. But when I went, there was this huge, there's always this thing called the Purge. It's the last night of Fest. And everyone just brings all their beer to and liquor they can't travel with to one central location. And everyone gets hammered. It used to be at this place called the Wyndham Gardens or the Paramount at the time. The Paramount no longer caters to Fest, so fuck them. But that year, I met this dude, Josh. I want to say from like either California or the Midwest. I don't remember. But probably older 30s. And he and I just become like the best of friends. We have this very like lovely slice of life Chekhovian night where he and I just chat. We talk about his daughter who's on the spectrum and his wife. And I talk about my then fiance and everything. And it was just a really lovely night. We broke into the bar, poured ourselves a beer just for each other, and we toasted and we drank and we cleaned up and left no evidence. It was really sweet. And honestly, we were both like, we're not sure if we're going to come back next year or ever, and yada, yada, yada. And it was just like this moment where like, well, if I never see you again, this was a really great night. And I'm really glad we got to have this like very lovely moment. And we parted ways. Fast forward to last year at Fest. He approaches me and he's like, you might not remember me. And it took me a second. And then I lost it. Like I hugged him and I started crying. And it was just like this very sweet moment. Well, this year he finds me again. And he's like, I honestly wasn't going to come to Fest. But then I was listening to this podcast that I'm normally on, that I normally listen to. And it just so happens that I hear your voice. I hear you talking at the scavenger hunt. And at that point, I made my mind up that I was going to Fest. So yeah, he was talking about your podcast. And it was just this very like everything. My friendship with this person is just so serendipitous and so wholesome. And it's just super cool that, you know, your podcast definitely had a huge hand in bringing Josh back to Fest and like reconnecting again. He's just like one of my favorite Fest human beings. So yeah.
That is such a good story. I had to add that into this whole thing. Again, I know this is long. Jesus, we're almost at 12 minutes and we haven't even started the episode yet. Once again, if this is your first time listening, don't listen to this one first. You'll be annoyed. All right, listen, let's just do this. Cue the music. Struggling Artist Anniversary Show.
Almost chopping it up, because this is what we do on Chopping It Up.
Yeah, we'll start it off with a little tease of how we do Chopping It Up. This is our we're entering our fifth year, right?
Is it fifth? I feel like the last one was 3 year anniversary.
So 2020 to 2021, that's 1 year, right? That's the
yeah
the
first yeah yeah year. Yeah.
2021 to 2022 would be 2 years.
Two.
2023 to 2024.
We're going into 4 years. Yeah.
No, 2023 to 2024 is
four. when we record again, it'll be going into the fifth year.
How does that work?
I don't know, dude.
Count. Not, we started with zero.
I'm
zero,
not Einstein.
Zero,
here,
one, two, three, four. That's
okay. Yeah.
Right. You smoke pot?
I don't know.
Today?
I really.
Did you get high today?
I'm Joe Rogan in it. I really feel like I looked at it today at the and the last annual said it was the 3 year anniversary.
Well, we probably fucked that up. Because we are unprofessional. But yeah.
Amazing.
So anyway, I was listening to your podcast, Hardly Awesome, with a very special episode, and yeah, I was shocked. I was shocked that the Punky Brewster episode when Cherry got locked in the freezer.
Oh, remember that? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Or right, dude. And then the Growing Pains one where Mike Seaver's friend had cancer and died. You remember that one too?
Yeah. There was also another show where somebody was like drunk driving and something happened and like he got in a car wreck and I think it was like Matthew Perry played him, a young Matthew Perry.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, I can't remember what it was now. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
This ain't hardly awesome.
No. But this is well, we are hardly awesome. But this is not hardly awesome. The podcast, yeah. So we're doing our anniversary show. We are late this year because we can't get our shit together. There was a lot going on. We typically record these in December, and it just so happened that this year I had like a full schedule of guests. Chris was working on a project for the podcast and wanted to get it done, and he did in December, right?
Oh my god.
Right before December.
The monkey on my back, but yeah, got it off.
Yeah. And so like it was just a busy time, and then I was like, well, we'll record in January. And maybe we'll put it out in January. But again, like the podcast has been booked. I was looking at it today. Like, I mean, I have to send out the calendar still, but I think I have enough people to send the calendar out, including the people that are already scheduled and the episodes we have recorded that aren't out yet. We're probably going to be going into April before we start booking. I made some promises and we're going to do that, but that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing.
Yeah.
We're not too far ahead with recording. So it's not like our first year where, you know, there was all this civil unrest and COVID stuff going on, and we're not talking about it on my podcast because everything got recorded in fucking...
Until like 7 months later.
Yeah, everything was recorded in January of 2020, you know? So, but, you know, so like, yeah, so things are... It's been a wild ride. I feel like this past year really opened up things for us as far as like... Just like what we're doing. You know what I mean? Like who?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I mean, we've had the format down for a minute now, but like, you know, we now have like all the different, like I call them like sub series that are on the channel. Like I basically call it the Struggling Artist Podcast channel, and the flagship show is this show. Well, typically with a guest. Right. And then from there we'll have like, you know, the Struggling With Ourselves episode, which a new one is coming out soon. I just have to get it in the programmed into the scheduling. You know, we do the round table every month. We do, you know, we do the artist spotlight with guests when they want to promote an album.
Yep.
I think I'm missing something. I feel like I'm missing one other type of episode, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it'll come to you.
Yeah. But you know, so like we got a lot. So like, I mean, I just feel like this year kind of 2023 really like, made things solid. You know what I mean? Like things are just like happening, and like a lot of things happened for us in a good way this past year. You know,
I mean, we kicked off the year doing the project that you had in mind for the longest time, right?
Yeah.
Like I talk about it on the way I posted about it just recently because I made it live to everyone on YouTube. It's been on YouTube for a while, and patrons were the ones that could see it ahead of time. But it was the evening with Michael Caine, mm-hmm. An evening with Michael Caine. And so I talked about how like that was born of something that had happened the year before, right? You had the little live show in your living room. You had Michael Caine there. You had Aria there. But that gave you an idea to, like, this would be cool to kind of have a sit down, talk to them, have them play music. And from there, I remember, like, the whole idea spurning. You and I would talk about it. We started developing this thought. You said, what if it was like this? Then we had to start shopping, looking for places. I remember you went and visited a few places and would send me pictures. You remember this?
Oh, yeah.
You'd take pictures of the place. You'd send it to me. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, I want to see how I could move around in there. And then all of a sudden, United Theaters is available, right? Mm-hmm. That becomes an option. And it was like, okay, let's check this place out. And I remember I came out there and we looked at it and I remember going, man, this looks good. This will be cool. We could do something here. And then from that moment forward, it felt like the snowball from the top of the mountain just rolling straight down and just going faster and faster and getting bigger and bigger. Cause it felt like everything went so fast. We had to get out there. We had to make sure we set up the stage. You secured an opener, right? We did everything about it. We got tickets set up. We had 50 seats ready to go. And then the night came and we talked about it before. It was a blink. It was a blink of an eye and it was done.
Yeah.
That's how we started the year, dude.
I know.
Started the year. You know what I mean? Like, that's intense. The rest of it was smooth sailing, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
except for me with the stress of and again, if you're a patron, you know what I'm talking about here. If you're not, why are you not a patron? You should be signed up to Patreons. Suit, what do we charge? $1, $2, and you listen to anything that we put on there?
I think, right? It's 2, 3, and 5.
Something like that, right? Yeah. But
five,
yeah,
you get stuff.
You know the struggles of what went into me trying to get it out by the end of the year, personal and physical and technical and all the different things that came into play. But we did. We finally got it out. And if you haven't seen it yet, listeners, head over to YouTube, Hardly Awesome Studios. Hardly Awesome Media on YouTube, and you'll see An Evening with Michael Caine there. And coming soon, the Tyler Seaton opener set too.
I'm gonna
get that set up.
Yeah, I definitely want to say that, like, Shout out to Tyler Seaton for coming, coming and opening up the show for us. And he had a phenomenal performance. And his video will be out soon. And we'll get it into Tyler's hands as well.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
He's got so much going on that's good right now. I'm so happy that kid went back to making music again, because, like, Tyler is a talented, talented musician. And he puts all of his fucking heart and soul into it, and I'm happy he's still doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. I remember, like you said, we were gonna have Tyler on. We had listened to him for Roundtable, and I really enjoyed it. Right, like, I liked his music a lot, and we talked about it on the show. But when I saw him live, I'm gonna tell you right now, I talked to Jim about it immediately. Like, that moment when he started talking, he was doing his little banter real quick, getting stuff ready to go. He started playing, he opened his mouth, and as soon as he started singing, it was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It does not translate across in the recordings what his live performance is.
Yeah,
like.
No, my cousin was like, he walked in when that was happening, and he was like, it touched his soul. He's like, I just felt
it. Was it, crazy, you know? Good, dude.
Yeah, and he's like, so he's played there a couple times now. That was his first time.
I've seen that. Yeah, saw that, dude. That's awesome.
He's been doing stuff with there's a musician, Big Lux, out of Westerly, who travels the world and plays. He went to, like, South Korea and was playing, like, in the middle of the streets and stuff, like busking and shit.
Damn.
Yeah,
okay.
This dude plays a violin and he sings, but he plays, like, he'll play, like, anything on the violin. He plays a lot of hip hop tunes on the violin and shit, and fucking just, yeah, he's good. So they've been doing a lot of collaborations. I know they did something in the local park in Westerly together, which was awesome. They've got another show coming up, and, like, Tyler's trying to, Tyler, I think it might be over by now, but he had a source funding campaign going to get back in the studio out in Boston to record some stuff. You know, okay. He came out and played a couple shows in Boston, you know, which was awesome. You know what I mean? And
that is cool, dude.
You know, so it's cool, man. It's cool to see this stuff. It's cool to see these artists that, like, you know, that were part of what we were doing, and now they're out there. And they're not, I'm not like, you know, I'm not saying it was us, but like Tyler has gone on record to say like us talking about his album was like
kind of re-inspired
him to start writing again. Now his talent is what's got him to where he was. I'm not like a music promoter or nothing. Like I, you know,
all we did, dude, was so here's the thing, right? As an artist, you put stuff out there, and whether your goal is to make money or whatever it is, at the end of the day, you're still trying to touch people, right? So like, if he at some point felt like maybe I'm done, I don't know if I'm feeling that kind of inspiration anymore or whatever it is, and then he heard the way we spoke about his music, if that was just enough, then that's all we did, dude. Like you said, everything else was because of him. That's why we spoke that way, was because his talent on the recording was that good. But when I saw him live, done. I was like, this dude, I'm always going to be a fan. It was amazing. It was a great performance. That's why I was like, I got to put that out too. It's not just going to be the Michael Caine thing. Like the Michael Caine thing was this production that we wanted to put together.
Right.
But the Tyler Seton thing is a cool kind of extra live performance that I was able to capture. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like the video that's out now is of the evening with Michael Caine. It's not, it doesn't have Tyler as opener.
Right.
You said. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that will be its own thing, like, you know, and it's like the same night, which is awesome. You know what I mean? Like it's really awesome.
Also, it'll be on the same channel, Hardly Awesome Media. So
I guess
YouTube, go follow it, subscribe, and you'll see all the new postings that go up as I put them up.
Since we're talking about the evening with, I guess we could say like, you know, and we've said it before, but like since we're kind of recapping everything, like we sold it out. We had a 50 head room, and we sold it out.
Yeah, dude, I was surprised. I got to tell you, I was surprised.
I was expecting
a part of me that was like, what if?
I thought 20 people at most.
You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, God. Yeah. But then I kept thinking to myself, that's not what this is. This isn't about trying to sell out the room and make it look like a show. I mean, it would be nice to have the crowd and see the people sitting there. But it was about capturing the vision of what was on stage. So in my mind, it could also be just a video shoot for that whole time. Right, you know what I mean? Right. So, but at first there was this thing in me going like, oh, why don't we start super small, like a basement where like 12 people would look mad crowded.
Like my living room with 20 people.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. That was, well, don't forget. I did say that we could pull this off in your living room, dude. A little bit of lighting, a little bit of this and that, little ambiance. We'll be good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
no, but it was awesome, dude. For me, like I said, by the time it was done, it was such a good feeling and such a good accomplishment. And then being able to finally get it out and put the cut out and put it out on YouTube and have it out there now is another accomplishment, right? It's like kind of like that bookend. We started the year with the production of it, and we ended the year by started this new year with putting it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So with that said, too, like I also want to say, like the house show that we did that led into this was a year prior. You know what I mean? A little more than a year. We had it booked in a year, right? By the next year is when we decided we were going to book the United for that date, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
I remember I had just started my new job and I was like, I was like, I hope that's my weekend off. And it wasn't, but luckily, you know, I get enough time off that I could take it off. And it was well worth it, man. I had a blast doing it. It was a lot of fun. I just don't want to sit underneath a hot lamp again.
So that was the thing too. Like we saw it, we watched it, and I thought to myself, like a big part of what we did too, there were learning things, right? Like there were certain things that now we saw how the layout was. We saw how much we could control the lighting, which was not certain spots you couldn't. So like we wouldn't do that again. So in the future, like obviously the few productions that we want to put out, the things we've been talking about, it's going to be the next level. It's going to be another step up. You know,
so I want to say two more things, a couple more things, and we can get off this subject and go to the next thing.
Yeah.
Number one, the backdrop with like the window, the storefront window, really worked well. It worked just the way I wanted it to work.
I think it did too, dude. It really did.
You can see the buildings behind it. You can see people walking by like, what the fuck? You know, you edited out the guy that made an ass of himself.
I was going to say, you didn't see the creeper.
I didn't see it at all. And
exactly.
And to top that off, like, you didn't catch, like, Bill running out there and fucking my buddy Bill ran out there and gave this guy the business. Like,
so I have the footage. I have that on the cutting room floor. We might make that available to patrons maybe to show them some of that stuff that was cut out.
Yeah, yeah.
But But yeah, dude, he was not there at all. He didn't exist.
Yeah, no, it didn't exist.
I didn't give him the time
of
day.
And like with when you know, the little guitar mishap happened. That's
because the whole tuning debacle.
Right, because all we got we're talking about it after the fact. You know, because I start talking about Saint Cecilia and all that shit. Like, you know, that's always a good one to bring up.
And unless you're there, you're not going to understand what it is you're even referencing, right? So, you just said something and it just is in passing and it flies. And so somebody who's never seen it is looking at that like, oh, they're referencing something from their past. You know what I mean?
Right. So, all right. So listen, now this wasn't like, so this was a struggling artist podcast project, but.
Presents, yeah.
But it's a Hardly Awesome Media thing.
In association with,
you made this. Like, this is your thing. You know what I mean?
We put it together.
No, we did.
We put it together. We put the presentation on. You ran it. Mike produced it. A lot of his performance was, so it's all a combination. It's not just mine.
Right.
But in terms of like how it looks cut, I sat there and cut it.
All right.
Yeah.
With all that said, are we going to do another one?
Hell yeah, dude.
The ball's in your court
on
this.
I'm so ready to now. Because, dude, I've done it now. It's like I know exactly what I want to do next time, exactly how I want to move things, how the camera's going to be set up what we're going to use here, how this is going to sound, dude. Like, oh, yeah.
All right, so I have a venue for you to look at.
Oh.
And.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's talk.
I have one in mind, you know. So,
listeners, this is live. He's breaking this on me live. I didn't know about this ahead of time.
I think we're going to talk about this place. Hell, we could probably talk about it next, even though it's not like chronologically in order. But
okay,
I think it would do well at the Estate of Mind.
The Frightensville spot, the episode where you had Frightensville.
Yep.
Dude, I'm all for it, man. I am all for it. That was a good episode, by the way. That made it onto my honorable mentions that we're going to talk about later.
So I actually went there today. I went there today to, I didn't go to there's dormitories in the back. So there's an artist back there and they just published their memoir and I went and bought one from them.
Oh, okay.
So I stopped by there today and I talked to them for a minute and I said, once the podcast kind of like, once we're back to like getting people in there, it'd be great to have them. You know, come on and talk about their book, you know, and about what else they do. You know, they're from Utah and they're out here.
Okay.
They're out here.
Nice.
You know, they came out here for this thing, this place.
That's cool, dude. Yeah. That's really, when I come out next, I really want to go check that out. I want to check
we'll
that place
in,
out.
We'll get in there. I got some things. Yeah. I want to do some stuff there. So,
okay,
you know,
cool.
It's too early to really announce what I want to do, but just know we're going to be doing some stuff there this year.
Nice.
This year in 2024.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know how good it's gonna. I don't know how it will work, but we're gonna try.
Oh,
to
it's gonna be
work.
Dope. Oh, I can't wait.
So, all right. So we're gonna film. We're probably not gonna film one this year, though. Probably next
no. We're filming it. What are you talking about?
Oh, you want to film
one?
Okay.
Oh hell yeah, dude! We're doing this again.
All right, we'll figure that out.
And trust me, the turnaround is gonna be much quicker now that the whole process is ready to go.
Yeah. So that was a big thing, right? Like you said, right in the new year.
Yeah.
Right in the new
and then
year.
You, like you said, you kicked it off and it was just like all the guests, all your guests, dude. You had so many good shows this past year.
Yeah, I think so. And like a lot of, I love having guests come back, you know, but it's
you had returners.
It's also awesome to get someone new in and kind of, and kind of learn about them and, you know, and get them introduced to our listenership, you know?
Yep. Album spotlights, those were good.
Those were very good. Yeah, that spawned from when we were doing the Get Punk podcast with Mark, and I would do those interviews. So that's basically all. If you ever listen to the Get Punk episodes we did, there's always like an interview where we're promoting an album for a band or whatever. Like that's what the artist spotlight is now. It's just those interviews, like just doing those interviews.
Yeah.
So it's
you just hear them talking, they're saying things, and then they play some music, and then they come back saying some more things. Yeah, it's dope. I like
it. We record a Q&A, and then I chop it all up, and I make something with it, and then I intertwine their music. Yeah, it's those are fun. They're not going to be too often, right? Because, I mean, people aren't dropping albums every day, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But being able to do them is fun. And sometimes I give them the option, right? So I'm like, hey, do you want to come on and do this artist spotlight thing? or do you want to come on and do like a regular episode? And like, I was doing them both. We tried it both with Carrie Ann, See You Skidmore and the Damn Fine Band. But I asked for feedback from people, and the feedback I got was like, the two episodes were really like the full episode we did for the album, and then the spotlight for the album, like
dropping soon. Yeah.
They were kind of like
in hand. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I decided too, that the Artist Spotlight should be Friday episodes. So only the only shows you're going to get on Mondays are the main episodes. Right. And then everything else will drop on a Friday. So it's like a, there'll be like bonus kind of episodes.
Nice.
We've recently, not numerically like what you see for your episodes, like what the, you know, each numbered episode that you see with the graphic and everything. We didn't, but overall we've reached the 200, we've crossed the 250 episode mark.
Damn. That's crazy.
So when I relaunched, I dropped like five of the old episodes from the original show, and I didn't number them. And then like for a while, the Friday, the round table shows weren't numbered.
Weren't part of the numbering scheme,
so
right?
Like now everything is numbered. So yeah, so we're at like 230, I think 230,
damn,
233 just dropped, but we're actually over 250 already.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, you're coming close before Apple starts saying, you can't hear this one anymore. Cut that off.
Is
cut
it that Apple off. That does it? Or I thought it was,
yeah,
I thought
it's
it was
like three.
I thought it was it would be because Buzzsprout told me I have unlimited, so yeah, it must be.
Yeah, it's typically Apple that has a 300 limit, and then after that, like, and then what happens is other shows do this creative thing where they create a whole new feed and they just call it the show episodes 1 through 299, and then you just go there to listen to all those ones.
Yeah, so I bought it earlier this year. Also, it was probably right after we did the evening with. I bought a domain for actually a couple to all go to the same place for a website for the podcast. And eventually we're going to have the podcast website going, and we'll be running, you know, we will be running stuff from there. I got to figure out how to take the RSS.
We got that. That's on that's on the docket for this year to make sure that happens. So yeah. So next year when we're doing next year's anniversary episode, we're going to talk about how we got that all done.
Yeah, cool. So what I did was I had a long night at work where nothing was going on. I built the website. I was so intimidated about building a website, even though they're easier now to build than they were 20 years ago. But like, I was like, I don't know. It's I overthink everything. So and then like one night I was like, let me just try to play around with it. And I built the website. So the website's done. We just have to do.
You didn't use ChatGPT.
No, I did it all myself. Yeah. So but I think a big help of it was I don't have to put all the graphics from episode 1 to episode 233 in there, because they're going to be like archived somewhere else, and we'll just have a link to get to those, you know?
Cool.
But I think once we hit, I would like to do it once we hit 250. From 251 and on will be through the website. So we don't have that much time left, but
cool.
We got a little
cool,
bit.
Cool.
Yeah, so we built the website. So the website's going to come up later on this year. What else did we do this past year? Shit, I feel like we're missing stuff. Oh, here's something. We have the Struggling Artist Record Club now.
Hey, the Record Club. Yeah.
So our good sponsor, State Line Records, once upon a time, getpunk.com, which I think you can still use the domain name getpunk.com to get to the State Line stuff. But Mark he just wanted to do the label stuff and get rid of the Record Club and the Get Punk, like the regular retail stuff, you know? So
yeah.
And he was kind enough to ask me to take it over and take over the Record Club. And I was so nervous, but then I did it, and I feel like I'm doing a good job with it. So
I think so, dude. We've talked about it before. We've talked about the albums that are coming out. Yeah, dude, I have been enjoying the albums that come out so far. I mean, we talk about it. So that's the other one. That's the Record Club recap. That's the other little mini series you do.
There you go. Yeah.
Look at that. See how it ties in. This was planned, listeners. This was planned. But yeah, so it's the Record Club recap. We talk about it all the time, right? It's like, so every time we talk about it, I talk about how, like, is this something, you know, it hits what I need? Is this what people look for? And you sent out something where people filled out surveys too, and it sounds like you're hitting, you know, what it is that this kind of audience would be looking for.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's the case, right? You have people who, if you love punk music and punk adjacent, when you say punk adjacent, you mean things like maybe this dude was in a punk band and now he's doing a folk acoustic thing, but yeah, it still has a punk flavor to it, right?
Anything hits the punk ethos, you know?
And so far, dude, you haven't put anything in there that I'm like, hang on, dude. What?
I will say some of the members are tough.
Are they?
Yeah. But for the most part, everyone was on page. And so, but I took those. I took those surveys and I took them, like, and I'm like, all right, I know how to improve this to go in the way that it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's good to have variety. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's what I'm always gonna have variety. But I, from the ratings from everybody, I understand now what hits the most and what, you know, okay, what I mean? So yeah, so that gets played with a little bit. And I think having, you know, getting from August to January or to December, like a lot of it was kind of like me just trying to feel it out. Right. I tried to get brand new records, which I did. I tried to get brand new, like not brand new, like used as opposed to used, but like, you know, I got like
just released
stuff, a lot of just released stuff. Some of it just kind of fell into my lap and I was like, yeah, let's run with that because it's good, you know?
Yeah.
And it worked, you know, much like when Mark had it, because I've asked him a million questions about what am I doing wrong? And he's like, people drop off and people come back and then people drop off, but you always have people always adding. So, I will say that I've never had a month where no one joined for the first time.
And one of the things you got to remember too, dude, is that, I mean, people's finances too are going to dictate, maybe I need to take a break now because I have to pay this. Yeah, you know, Christmas this is time, coming into play.
I had a feeling Christmas time we were going to lose some people, and we did, but we also gained probably between December and January's record, we gained more than we've lost, you know?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
dude.
That's
nice.
A good thing. So we're getting, and I love when it's people I don't know. That makes me feel
you're like, I don't know who this is, but that's awesome.
Yeah, I'll tell you, not a lot of people I know are members.
let me tell you this, dude. People that you don't know, when you see them jump on, write them a handwritten note.
I do.
Oh, nice. That's the personal touch, bro.
I do.
Not just the typed out thing. That's the, this is why I picked it. But, thanks very much for jumping in.
All right, so I'll break that down. So this is how it goes, folks. If you're a new member, you're going to get a little handwritten note from me in addition to the readout, which is for the album of the month. You're also going to get, and until I run out of them, I got to count to see how many I got left. But I had purchased the only 100 black copies of KCUF's Every Day is Winter Here. So
which is awesome.
So
I own it.
It is an exclusive from the Record Club only. You can get it in a different color from KCUF, but when you join the Record Club and it's your first time joining, you get one of these, right? So when everyone converted over, everyone who came with the transition or whatever, with the changeover, they all got one. So like,
nice.
Yeah. So I got to see how many I got left, but we do that kind of thing. And I do, I, for new people, I always put a new note in, for people who are like, say you got like a 6 month subscription and this is your last month, I'm putting a handwritten note in there saying, hey, it's time to renew. You know, if not, like, thanks for being part of this, you know? And then, and then I bombard them with emails until they either renew or
unsubscribe for the email.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, once it hits the next, like once the month's over, once it hits the fifth of the month, if they didn't renew, then I'm not bothering them anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I gotcha.
I could probably revisit a few, but I just, for now, that's how it's going to be, you know?
But yeah, dude, Record Club's a big deal. That's another notch in the, you know, another accomplishment, if you will, in the year.
I think so. Right? And I, you know, I've said it a million times, because the record, I was a member of the Record Club when it first started and all the way through. Mm-hmm. There was a year I took off because I didn't have a home base, you know, because I was traveling. But like when this thing became a music thing, almost every band I hit up first were bands I found through the record club in those years prior. And so it just makes sense. Like, why wouldn't this be the next thing? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We also, with the record club recap, we give members of the record club an opportunity to write us in reviews and let us know what they think of the albums. I think that's really
cool. They're bomb, dude. I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah.
We get some good interaction. Consistent.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So I think it's a good thing, man. I do. And I think also with the record club we're doing now, like, and this won't always happen, but like it just so happened. So Punk Box had closed up shop and they sent me I came home from work one day and there was just boxes upon boxes at my door, you know? So I have records that like now I can do like once a month, a member will be picked at random and they'll get an extra record, you know?
Yeah, nice.
So it's like Mark used to call it the golden ticket, like Willy Wonka, you know?
Yeah.
We're running with that. It's the golden ticket. So that started.
Yeah, I know I remember back in the day, remember Loot Crate?
Yeah.
Loot Crate had a thing where they'd pick one member and they'd get like the mega box and you didn't know you'd get it, but you'd get it and you'd got like all this extra stuff that was awesome. You know what I mean? You have to do anything extra. It was just part of being in the club.
Yep. You just get a chance to do it, you know, as of right now, I don't know if you win it, I don't think I'm putting you back in until like, if we had like 300 members or something, I'd be able to do that. But we have so little members. I'm just going to, and then at the new year, you'll all be cycled back in. But it's cool, man. It's just a fun little thing. I like to do this.
It is cool.
You know, it is a lot of fun and it's a lot of fun and I'm having fun doing it. And you know, it's not killing me to do it. So we're going to keep it going. I'm a big fan of doing it. You know?
Hell yeah, dude.
I'm happy with it. I'm happy with this. It's a lot of fun. It was a lot of work at first to like try to get everything I needed, try to figure out everything I needed to do, but well worth the payoff. It's well worth it.
Got it though. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that was on the back end of the year. Also on the back end of the year, dude, we got nominated again. We got nominated again for the Boston Music Awards.
We did.
For best, what is it, radio podcast?
Podcast. Music podcast / radio show.
Radio show. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Two years in a row. Not bad, man.
Yeah. We're there. Yep. We're part of this thing now. You know?
Yep. You got to the playoffs. Yeah. Next time.
Also, for the second year in a row, I was sick as shit and I couldn't go.
I know, because that time, like, if listeners listen to Chopping It Up, we talked about that too, right? Like, I was the whole plan was I'm coming out. We're going, and we were going to go out there in style, dude. We got a car. We got like people prepping us. We got stylists. You had your personal barber dude that comes in and shaves you.
I did go see Raul that morning. Raul. He cleaned me up real good. I'm happy.
Literally the day before, bro, you texted me and you're like, bro, this is not good. I was like, what?
I was like, I hope he didn't go to sleep because I knew you were getting up mad early to come out here.
Yeah, you know? But it's all right, dude. It happens. Next year we'll be there in person. So anybody that goes out there or is a part of it, any listeners that want to make sure they vote for us so we can get on that stage and be like, hey, we want to thank all you listeners, man.
Yeah, yeah. I hope I can make it to it next year.
yeah. We're putting you in a bubble like 2 months ahead of time and just leaving you there.
I was sick as shit the end of this year, man. This past year.
Crazy, dude.
You can hear it in the episodes because I'm fucking hacking up along the whole time. Like,
yeah. You still have remnants here and there.
A little bit. Yeah, that's just... Yeah.
Not as bad, though.
No, it was real bad. Yeah. And like, I feel bad because I got to guest on a bunch of these episodes early this year and like I'm coughing throughout all of them. I'm like, fucking A, Trev.
Man,
that was crazy. It was crazy. What else? We'll talk about this. This happened right around the same time as the record club. Inquisition?
Acquisition. Yeah,
yeah. The KCUF, dear friends of the show, dear friends of ours.
Yes.
Put out 100 poses, and we went to the Chris and Jim, who's part of the Hardly Awesome crew, came out. And we went to this show, and it was a fucking barn burner of a show. Barn burner of a show. It was crazy.
What a show. And it didn't start as a barn burner. It started out pretty, like, at first low key, and then picked up the pace because Jeff Bousquet came on, you know, part of our round table crew. Jeff came on and he did his acoustic solo set and
phenomenal.
Killed it. Right. And then that was it. It was like, open the floodgates and get your face melted off. Mm. Jukebox Romantics destroyed.
Yeah.
You know,
I can't remember what the hell was the other band?
I know I'm blanking on it right now too. God,
gosh,
dang it.
Darn it. They're a North Shore band, and
I'll look it up here.
And I like them. That's the thing. I have like their music, so I'm pissed off at myself that I can't think of it at the moment.
Yeah,
we'll blame the excitement of doing the anniversary show.
That's what it is, and we'll just say I'm not prepared, bro. I'm the producer. I'm not even prepared.
Yeah, but you never are, so I can't really blame.
Hey,
you know. If you do the same thing over and over, at one point I can't keep blaming you for that, you know.
Yeah, dude. Oh, I can't remember who it
I
was,
just remember
still, great performances.
Yeah, yeah. I just remember the Jukebox Romantics were there, and like mm-hmm. I was sitting there, and like Terry came over, and he was just like so happy to see. I was happy to see him too, and it was funny because he's like, "Let's take a picture together," and I'm like, isn't this what I'm supposed to say to you? You're the musician.
Right.
You know, it was funny. And he didn't know about the evening with, and he started asking me about it, you know?
And
he's got this thing. He's got to get over this. He is a good songwriter and a phenomenal performer. But like, he's like, mm-hmm. I know I'm just in a pop punk band. He always says that. It's like, shut up, dude. Shut up, dude. You know, cause he's got
it. Yeah, they killed it, dude. They killed it. Cause that was your first time seeing them live, right?
Yes, I never had a chance to see them live. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember you after the show, you and I had a chance to talk, and you were just like, Jesus Christ, I wasn't expecting
He looked
that.
Possessed.
It was awesome.
The whole time he looked possessed.
You were able to book AJ?
Yes, I was able to meet AJ from Shakeout, and it was funny because I was like, I knew about Shakeout like before I knew you were in Jukebox Romantics, and he was like, really?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, and then I mentioned your name, and he was like, oh, shit. And then I was like, he's here. And then AJ's like, where? He was super excited that you were there.
Yeah, dude. He's a cool dude, man. Yeah. I remember the first time I met him, I was at a Keep Flying show at the drummer's house. They did a house show out of the garage. And he opened. He was supposed to have his regular set, the electric set, him and the drummer with his looping pedal,
yeah.
His looper pedals. But something happened. The drummer couldn't make it. So he's just like, all right, I'm just going to do my version of a show, but with an acoustic guitar. And I remember him saying something like he'd never really done it much before. So hopefully it was fun. And I remember seeing it going like, holy crap, this dude's amazing. And afterwards, I went by the little table he had his merch set up on. And I was just like, hey, dude, that was a great set. You know what I mean? And yeah, that after that, you know, I've messaged him and talked to him a lot on social and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. I also want to say like Terry's got another band called Friday Night Vampires.
Okay.
Very good. I don't know. Have you heard them yet? No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Very good stuff. Very good stuff.
Like current. This is a current band. Or
yeah. 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 It's
be?
Like a little side project that he does.
Oh, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. So, we have a guest here. We have a couple guests here. Hi.
Hi, Chris.
Welcome.
Hey, what's happening?
How are you? This is Aria and Keely and Dolly the Destroyer.
And Dolly the Destroyer. I like that. Is that? I think Dolly the Destroyer should meet Tula the Terrible.
I think so.
I think they would wreak havoc on this world.
She tends to do so. She's very
energetic. I went today. I went to get some. I went to like there's like a pet store in my town, and the lady's like, she's really good with dogs. So I was like, hey, I was like, to call my dog an aggressive chewer would be an understatement. And she's like, I got you. And she like showed me these toys to buy. And she's like, nothing's indestructible. They call it indestructible, but nothing's indestructible. I was like, I know.
Oh yeah.
My dog's destroyed it all. So.
Oh yeah. I've gotten stuff for my dog with their like this Kevlar, whatever. And I'm like, that doesn't matter. Trust me. It doesn't matter. She's going to get right through it.
Got her one of these, 34-inch rawhide bones, like as the chews, and she was really confused because it was like on sale at PetSmart. I'm like, "Ha, this is a funny gag gift for the dog." And it sort of made her really anxious. She was like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
It's like bigger than my body. Like, I don't know how to move it around.
I got this like giant, like it's like an egg. And like Tula, I just got it today. And Tula doesn't know. She just pushes it around. She can't like grab it. She cannot hold this thing at all. So she's trying to figure out how to play with it. It's pretty funny. All right. We were just talking about the KCUF record release show.
At Faces. Yeah. By the way, you didn't say who was on joining the show here. Aria Rad.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Coffin salesman himself.
Yeah. Aria and Keely. Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
And this is Keely. She plays in a noise project called Poor Mary. You can find it on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
If you like noise drone music, it's pretty fun.
Heck yeah.
Have been featured on the Miracle on Com Ave as well, right?
Yeah, I think so. Or we did in our side goth band, the Immortal Janitor, has been featured on Miracle and Conrad.
What's a project on Bandcamp? What's it called?
Poor Mary.
Poor Mary, awesome.
Poor Mary.
Yeah. My sister doesn't like the name, but
yeah, I think it's if you like bands like Sun or anything like big drone music, I think it's kind of cool like that. And punk adjacent. So the dog has training buttons, like when she wants to like do stuff. So when she wants to go for a walk, I don't know if you know this Bad Religion song. Bad Religion has a song, A Walk, and it's fucking awful. Like really stupid fucking song. Like total stinker. And it's just Greg Graffin being like, I'm going for a walk. I'm gonna use my hands. I'm gonna use my mind. And it's so fucking dumb. And so we use it as a button. So when the dog wants to go out, she presses the button and it plays the Bad Religion song.
That's awesome.
And it's good because it doesn't have to be like, we're getting sick of a song we like.
Yeah.
It's like a funny thing now. Now I have positive association with something I didn't like before, as opposed to the other way around.
So Dolly the Destroyer is button trained? Like,
yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool.
You could say we're button trained.
Yes. Yeah. That, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it becomes. Aaron did the same thing with Rico and Layla, our two dogs, and she had them. She saw some video on like Instagram Reels or something, this dog that could like talk to his parents with all these buttons. And so she's like, I'm going to start training him. So she trained him to do the treats, to let him outside. And then the battery broke for the treats one. It's been gone forever, but they still go over and smack the ground where it used to be to tell us that they want the treats. Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh man. So Aria, yeah, we were just going over some of the highlights and we're up to the KCUF record release show. What's the band from the North Shore that played? I'm really mad because I know the band and I can't think of the name.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, it's In the Meantime.
In the meantime.
That's
I have their sticker literally plastered. I should have just turned around and looked at it.
Yeah, the Pride of Peabody. Right there,
the Pride of Peabody. I like it.
They've been doing it a really long time. Like Steve and Dan, like they've been doing that band, I think almost like 10 years now.
Yeah, they've been around for a minute. They've been around for a minute.
Yeah, yeah, and the character band, we played Dan's dad. They had like a big fest for him at Faces. They had like 10 bands, and like it was like a big all day show for his birthday.
That's awesome.
He's been a big supporter of like all their bands and everybody's bands. Like I see him at shows all the time. And so that was a fun adjacent tangent.
You know, what was a good thing for me too this past year that you were a part of, Aria, was the Hangar on the Hudson Albany show.
Oh, yeah, that place is so cool.
Yeah, you were out there with Coffin Salesman. And there was this dude that was out there called Turf. That has like turf, right? And he's got himself built into this like wooden cage with chicken wire and all kinds of symbols. And I think we talked about this, Trev, on Chopping It Up, and like just straight out noise rock, which I remember we were just standing there watching him. And as soon as it started, and he had these monitors that were just humming. It was like the beginning of Back to the Future when Marty McFly turns that amp all the way up and you just hear that. It's like, what's coming next? Oh, and then he went into this like performance like a caged animal. It was absolutely insane. And then when you guys went on stage, forget it. It made the night.
Yeah, literally caged. Yeah, no, I remember, like, I, like, was singing terrible because the air was all ashy, like, the whole ride down. And I didn't realize when I got there that I had been, like, inhaling, like, weird ash dust that whole day.
Oh, the Canadian fires. That's right.
No, but yeah, tournaments are crazy. Like, everyone, yeah, and then I was talking to Andrew from Miracle Blood because they played with Turf and Turf, I think, like, maybe, like, a month later. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. Like, get ready. And, like, we're talking about it, and we're trying to, like, do a show, but I'm trying to think about, like, where that could be. Like, because it requires such, like, setup.
Yeah. But it seemed, I started following him on social, and I'll see when he posts these events, and I'm just like, he just takes the whole get up everywhere. Like, there's no, I'm just going to do a little version of this or a stripped back version. Nope. He's got the whole setup ready to go. It's great.
Didn't you say it was like something out of a Mad Max film?
Like, it did feel like it, dude. It felt like we were like in the Mad Max world watching a performance. Like, yeah, it was crazy.
Talking to them, and it's like, oh, they have like the cast on their arm now, so when they hit stuff they don't like draw blood because they used to just get in the cage
hit
things and then like get really fucked up because you're like, I don't know if you ever like smacked a cymbal with your bare knuckles, but like really
oh yeah but yeah, dude, I'll tell you, I never would have known that you weren't like your voice was messing with you that night, because you guys killed. That was quite a performance too. Like, it felt like the whole vibe after that whole thing, that Turf and Turf, the rest of the vibe for the rest of the night, because the ska band was cool too. That ska pump pop punk band was pretty cool, but you guys just like slayed. It was so great.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
We love Albany.
That's awesome. I wish I was able to get out there for that one.
Yeah, but
plug for my homies in Girth Control putting out their new 25 song LP.
Wow.
Holy shit.
March. Yeah. Life's Too Short for Girth Control by Girth Control. Keep an eye out.
Is Girth Control formerly the members of what was that? You sent me a
Slaughter of Lords. Yeah. So Girth Control is 75% of Slaughterhouse Chorus, 100% different band. And they also, all those members plus the other member of Slaughterhouse Chorus did a more experimental project called Timing that came out January of last year. And I feel like some people slept on it, but it's like a really cool, weird psych folk doom record. It's called Storms Coming by Timing. And I highly recommend people check it out. It's weird. It's definitely a little out there, but and they made it on like the Bandcamp, like New and Notable, like front page one day, and that was kind of awesome.
I love. Yeah,
they were awesome. They were awesome live.
I love whenever I talk to Aria, no matter the setting, like in person on Zoom, I always discover new music, and I'm a big fan of that. There's been times where I want to tell this story, where like records show up at my house, and I'm like, "Who sent this? Who sent this?" And I'm like trying to rack my brain. I'm like, "What? This is who sent this to me?" And then I'll get like a message from Aria that's like, "Hey, did you get this record in the mail?"
Yeah, part of me wants to be like incognito, but I like desperately need to know. It's like the money. Also to like check your tracking every like 30 seconds of the day. You know?
Yeah. Well, the first one, it was like a minute before you hit me up about the first one. The one that,
I think it was a War of Words record.
Yes. Yeah. It was a minute before you hit me up about that one. And that one was when I was like, now I can kind of like, if I get a record and I don't know who it's from, chances are it came from Aria. So like, but that was the first time Aria had done that, and I didn't know. I was like, "Who sent this to me?" And I'm like, I'm hitting up like Mark Lind. I'm like, "You know this person?" And I'm sending them like, I like try to find out like where the record came from and like and all this stuff. And he's like, "No, I don't know who that is." And it's funny. Mark had sent me that record in the record club, and I told him what the record was, and he didn't even remember he ever sent it to us.
That's awesome.
Oh man. Jim Clark the Third, thanks for joining us, buddy.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Third.
Good.
Yeah. How's things? How is your project for the outdoors thing?
Oh, it's done. I didn't get selected, but it's done. Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, it happens. It is what it is. I didn't expect it.
Yeah, you did.
I saw it when they announced it and did it from there. So it's not like I had any prep time. It's not like I had any time to like really figure anything out. I just had to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it was fun doing it.
Yeah. So Jim is part of the Hardly Awesome crew. That's the people who are listening, because you've done chopping it up with us.
He did chopping it
I've
up
done chopping
a couple
it
times.
Up,
yeah.
I think like once or twice. And then I think I was on last year's anniversary show too.
Oh, you might
have. Yeah, you dropped in. Yeah, you dropped in.
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at Dolly. Like just like in bliss right now. The pets from both angles.
It's a big old horse. For the camera. Yeah. You
know, oh, look at that.
That's awesome.
You pay the tax. take the ride.
All right. So Chris, we're heading into the fall now, right? We're talking about what happened in the fall.
Oof.
With the fall, we'll talk about the state of mind. They had reached out to me for the record club and I went and met them, and I thought doing a podcast thing with them would be much, much better, more beneficial for them. They are Victoria describe it? I don't know.
It's like a communal collective of artists is what it is.
Yeah. And there's just like this giant manor that has like a dark history behind it. And there's dormitories on the property as well where the artists live, and they're fixing up.
I didn't know there was a dark history behind this place.
Oh yeah. There was like, so that was the place where the church would send the priests who needed to go into hiding.
Oh,
so they would go there first until they went to the next place.
Interesting.
So, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so they're in there now and they're trying to like, all right, let's give this thing a more positive spin, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a unique place, and like the woodworking in there is phenomenal. I've sent people pictures of like from their Instagram. I'm hoping I can work something with them and maybe we could put on a show there at some point. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I went there today. One of the artists who lives on the property, I went and bought their memoir that they just had published. So I went and picked that up today. That was fun to go over there and kind of talk to somebody else. And so that was a cool thing. And because of that, so when they came on to promote Frightensville, which was like their like War of the Worlds kind of haunt that they were doing.
Right? Yeah, I listened to your podcast about it, like when you had them on, and they were talking about like it's a drive-through kind of thing, right? Like people drive this whole route, almost like a haunted hayride.
Yeah, but you're in your car, and you come to stop. So
but all
stops.
Of these different yes, and all these different things kind of play out for you, right? And they said something about like them being able to broadcast on a certain channel, so you have to have that on in your car so that you could listen to things, right? So like I never talked to you about this after the fact. Like you were supposed to do something for it, and what was this experience? What was it?
So what it was is like, so you're listening to like a news piece. You're listening to like a radio news piece about all these strange accounts, and you have people calling in. So they had people that were doing like voice acting, and they would call on a phone and they'd be like, you know, we live over here in Whitensville, and there's these really weird things going on, and like there's these crows. And so I thought I was just going to have like a little part like that, but they gave me, I was the narrator. I was the, Yeah. So what I was the person who came in. And like I was doing like the news piece. So like I forgot my name. It was like, I don't know, like Brick something or something. You know what I mean? It's something like that. But like that was what I was. That's like that was my part. So I was narrating. So my voice is throughout this entire thing. It was pretty wild. So Scott, is that you, buddy?
It is me. I'm at a show, but I took a break to come outside and say hi.
What show are you at?
I am in the middle of fucking nowhere, Windsor, New York, I am at a VFW hall type thing. We've got Trouble Bound, RBNX, Car Bomb Parade, 71 Creep Show.
Nice. Are you recording anything from this? Like, are you doing the audio?
No, not a thing. Not a thing.
So, Scott. So
I just came out to come support some bands, and they've been trying to find light where I can be seen.
Yeah.
Maybe use some flyer for a show I have coming up soon. There we go.
Nice, nice. So Scott, real quick, just reintroduce yourself to the listeners about what you do with Live Records.
No problem. So I run DCPC Live. I do live albums of hardcore, ska, punk, and metal bands, all on vinyl. A lot of them I record myself, or my buddy down in Florida does. And I release 100 to 200 only. So it's my fourth year coming around here soon in April. Something in the area of like 25 records now in the last 3 years.
Nice. That's awesome. So Scott, I remember me hooting and hollering in your ear about you have to come out for a coffin salesman show?
I would love to.
So Aria, this is Aria of Coffin Salesman that's with us right now.
What's up, Aria? How you doing?
I
need to come out your way, apparently.
Yeah, I've been telling Scott to.
Oh yeah.
So you were supposed to go to the Albany show, right? That the one wasn't On the Cinder supposed to be there.
Yeah, and On the Cinder, like, why did that show get canceled? It got canceled for some reason.
Well, it happened.
Or did On the Cinder just cancel?
On the Cinder canceled.
Just On the Cinder.
Yeah.
They had a family emergency. I think something had happened.
Yeah. So see, this is weird. It's all these weird little interconnecting fucking moments right here. Scott, I'm gonna send you a text with some shows. Maybe you can come out for one of them.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Absolutely.
So how far are you from here again? Where are you? New Albany?
I live in Woodstock. I go to school in Albany. You know, so anything up and down the Hudson Valley I go to pretty regularly. Like, I'm doing a show in Troy in April.
Nice.
So
nice.
I played out in Massachusetts, but I haven't gone out there for a show yet.
Yeah.
Just to see one.
We gotta get you out here, dude. There's some good stuff out here.
No, I'd be down for sure. And I can get some of y'all down this way. I'm just finally starting to get shows and stuff.
Nice.
It's just limited.
Right.
And I try and only do shows when I either have a touring band or an out-of-town band. I don't like doing local showcases.
No doubt. You're outside drinking in the parking lot?
Yeah, is that not the norm?
No, I don't know. I don't know how things go down at the VFW.
I guess it's okay. I didn't ask permission. I just walked out.
That's awesome.
I assumed it was okay.
Yeah.
After all, I'm like almost 50 damn years old.
There you go. So yeah,
I know how to drink the beer.
so yeah, Chris. So I got to be like the news reporter for this thing, and it was a lot of speaking parts.
So that's what you mean by War of the Worlds, is that it was that immersive thing that to make it seem realistic. So mm-hmm. You're listening to it all in full. It was pre-recorded, right? You didn't do it live.
No, I pre-recorded it, and they ran it on a loop. So everyone who lives there heard this thing on a loop for like 12 hours of me just rambling on, mispronouncing
words.
That's
awesome, dude.
Yeah. So
heck yeah.
It's terrifying to do live. Yeah. Like, you might throw yourself for a loop, and then you're in like your whole little like that'd be a weird horror surreal situation.
Yeah, could you imagine?
Like, we're just repeating lines over and over again all through the night.
Yeah. And so I guess
that for later.
so the way the property goes too, like it's this really big property, and there's a driveway that goes all the way around it, and it actually leads out by the where the dormitories are, and it goes to a different road. So it's almost like you're just driving down the street kind of thing. And they had things blocked off, and there was like they were doing acting at each block off spot before you could move to the next parts.
Yeah.
So it was cool. It was a cool little
thing. You can go to their website, and there's like this whole photo gallery of the grounds, the house, the interior. It's absolutely insane. Yeah. The interior reminds me of the Outlook Hotel from The Shining.
Nice.
Just how like ornate and just gorgeous it is. A lot of wood. It's awesome.
Yeah. And so when I think of this place to do shows, like I think of like, you know, Your Friends in Hell or Thou Merciless Graves that have like the burlesque thing that they can do would benefit there. They do like they also do like a singer songwriter night, like if someone wanted to do solo stuff. I think Coffin Salesman would I don't know how loud it would be, pretty loud, but
That'd be great,
just
though.
the whole aesthetic of the place, though, Aria, is like, you got to check it out. You got to come check it out.
We can definitely do one of our very serious sitting down shows.
Oh, yeah.
Serious sitting down.
A new thing this year has been sitting down and playing for the very first time in my life. And that's like the.
Yeah.
But no, your friends at Helen Cotton Salesman are actually playing at Trev's house later in 2024.
I hope so. Yeah. That'd be great.
Also at Trev's?
Yeah.
It was mostly. It's mostly. That's a show I can come to. I'm gonna say it here. I'm gonna speak it into being.
Hey, there you go. I love it.
All right, we can do that.
Investing it right now.
We can do it. If we do it in the summer, we can have it outside. We can make this happen. We could do a quiet set inside again.
Quiet. It's everything quiet.
Yeah.
Set,
you know? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You want the intimate show, dude? Something, yeah. You
know? So no burlesque inside the living room, I guess.
Oh, you can definitely burlesque.
Why not?
I mean, you'd rather have burlesque outside?
No, I'm just saying it's a small.
I'm just saying, like, maybe you have different neighbors than I do.
My neighbors are pretty cool. Yeah, they're pretty cool. So, yeah, that would be cool. Hey, Aria, I'm game whenever you want. You got, you know.
Yeah, I'm woodshopping a couple ideas. I'll talk to you.
All right, let's do it.
I'm full of too many schemes and I'm.
I'm going. I'm next Saturday. I'm going to see Miracle Blood over in Worcester.
Hell yeah!
Nice.
I'm pumped.
Nice.
I'm pumped.
And that band is what's up. Like the first time I saw them, they really like it blew my mind just like watching them play. Like I had never heard them, never knew anything about them. They played at O'Brien's like time and a place, and like it literally blew the hair off my head. I'm like, oh my god! Yeah. And then like I've seen them more recently since Anthony's been in the band, and it's like. The same blow your head off feeling heavier. Like
nice.
It's like the same craziness, but like also like blowing off your doors and like beating your ceiling in or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Chris, what else you got? What do you want? You want to go over some of your stuff?
Oh, I just had my little thing of my favorite. Five. These aren't top five. It was just five favorite episodes of the year so far.
Sure.
And I had a few honorable mentions. So I'll start with the honorable mentions first. I had July 10th, your episode with Bad Ups. I remember seeing Bad Ups at the Ilix place, and just really enjoying it. A lot of fun, and so listening to the show was cool too because I had already seen them. So like listening to them talk about the music, the background, that was a good time. October 16th, Frightensville. Obviously, we just talked about that, but that was a great episode too. Really learning to do, you know, learning what they were doing there, hearing about all, you know, how they run that place. December 4th, The Return of Blind Adam. That was a great episode. The album that came out of it, I enjoyed. And then December 11th, this is just a personal one, Goodbye Metro. It was awesome listening to that episode and listening to them talk about like their music, their backgrounds. So those are my honorables. Here are my five favorite of the year, and I'm going to go in order from the beginning of the year towards the end of the year. So kicking off the beginning of the year, one of my favorite episodes, January 30th, was Thou Merciless Graves. This introduced me to, I mean, you had talked about seeing them, but when they came on the show, listening to them talk about their music, just hearing that stuff. Then when they started releasing their singles, getting into it. Huge, huge fan of that one. May 8th, you did the episode with Shotgun from Your Friends in Hell. Again, another entertaining episode, but also listening to the stuff that he did that wasn't music related, right? Like the D&D artwork. I was like, this is cool, dude. Like, okay, I enjoyed that episode a lot. Number three, July 31st, the 100 Poses by KCUF episode, only because I absolutely loved that album. So listening to Chris and Ken kind of break down a lot of the songs, some of what the meanings behind the songs, the stories behind them. I'm always a huge fan of that kind of thing. So that was a great episode. Number four, September 25th, Down Talker. That to me was a really good episode. Yeah, just listening to the story behind, you know, their relationship, the two guys, the music that they had, like the kind of the things they had gone on, you know, gone through, the ups and downs, and then the kind of redemption story that came out of it, the comeback, you know what I mean? It was dope.
That was the easiest episode I ever recorded. I spoke like four
you just
words.
Sat back, dude.
I spoke like four words and I just let them go. It was awesome.
Yeah, dude. It was great. And then number five, November 20th, when you had AJ on for Shakeout, Struggling with Shakeout, because again, huge fan of AJ and Shakeout, and you know, just listening to like just the way how excited he is when he talks about music and the stuff he does and the media production and all that, and just also hearing a lot of his experiences and what he does in that regard was kind of eye-opening and inspiring, you know, knowing it, because I love doing this stuff too. So hearing somebody kind of like talk about what they do and how excited they were, it got me excited too. So those are my top five favorite episodes of the year.
Hey, Scott, I know you're at a show. I don't want to keep you. Why don't you shout out?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to like be rude, but I'm going to edit out a little bit.
Why don't you shout out where people can find your the records that you put out and what if you have anything coming up soon?
I have so much coming up soon. So DCPC Live, I just put out Necrotic Society's Live and Dead. That's live on Side A, studio on Side B. I got Rebelmatic coming out in February. I got two Costa Rican bands coming out in February. I have the Inquisition record. Hopefully coming out in March. I also have a split with Accept You and Trash World coming out in March. It's been nonstop. I think I put out three records in the last 2 months as well. So it's been a nonstop go, go, go.
Nice. Did you do another Amberetta?
Yeah, so I'm doing the Amberetta final show as well. I'm just waiting for the final artwork and for the music to come through. Okay. So I'll be doing another Amberetta show as well. 90 Pound Wuss is coming out. Middle-Aged Queers and Raging Nathans is coming out.
Nice, man.
Where do people get this? Where do they go to get all this?
Most of it's just my website, dcpc.com. So I do mail order. I don't charge for shipping. So it's $20. It's flat. So that's the price. So it's,
and you got to hop on these fast. You got, cause I waited a week and I missed out on the Some Kind of Nightmare one. So I'm still mad about that one.
DCPC.com limited, like you have to jump on limited. Fast. They disappear.
So, Some Kind of Nightmare. They're touring Europe, and I'm already in talks in the release, either the same 7-inch again as a European release. I don't do repressings, but a European release would be different. Odds are that they'll probably sell out on tour.
Yeah.
Oof.
But maybe you can get them to hide a copy for you.
I got to get them on the show still. I've been
you
dragging.
Do have to get them on the show. They're as good people as they are a band. They might even be better people.
Yeah.
And they're a great band. So they're phenomenal people.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. They're
thank you all for your time. They just handed me a plastic cup to hide my beer. So I think that's my signal to stop drinking in the parking lot and go watch the rest of the show.
All right, Scott, enjoy it, buddy.
Thanks for joining,
right,
Scott.
Love,
I'll check
buddy.
You
thank
out.
Thank you, man. Yeah. All right, later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Scott,
yeah, I'm gonna have to connect with him when I'm out that way for a show or two.
Yeah, so Scott put out this this like Ann Beretta album, and it was like it blew my mind because it was like country, like Ann Beretta, like they changed like the
acoustic record, right?
What's that?
They did like an acoustic kind of record.
Yeah, it was an acoustic live record, and it was so like west, like country western. Which is crazy because like they don't sound like, you know, the band in the 90s didn't sound like that. You know what I'm saying?
They're pretty poppy.
What's that?
They're pretty poppy.
Yeah, I liked them a lot. So, and then they like got back together, and then I guess they're calling it quits again. So
I think, I'm not sure, this might be bad intel, but I think one or two people from Amberetta, there is a new band from Richmond called Payphones. That has a bunch of people from different Richmond bands.
Yeah.
And they're coming up to Faces in February.
That's gonna be a fucking badass show.
KTF and Hell Beach. And that's gonna be a pretty sick show.
Yeah.
So
nice.
Yeah. That Payphones EP is really good too.
Yeah. My friend Christian, who's done a bunch of art for like so many bands, like lives in Richmond and used to live in New Hampshire. I remember like seeing him at like in his old ska punk band back then. Now he's in all these like killer bands playing all the time, all over the place. And it's awesome. They're balls.
Arya, can you tease us anything that's going on with Coffin Salesman?
there's really not much to tease that I haven't really said too much on, is that we're pretty really close to done mixing this record.
Nice.
And then hopefully have it out in like the middle of the year. And it's taking me a lot longer than I thought, but it kind of needed to happen that way.
Yeah.
And then there's some other stuff cooking. So pretty much as soon as the record is done, back to the next thing.
Awesome.
You stay busy. So, you stay busy.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, I feel like fits and starts. Awesome. Yeah, I have schemes, but I don't want to like.
Yeah. Don't dive in. Yeah, don't dive in too much into it. You know,
no, but things just... are wheels in motion, which is good.
I tell you what, the struggling artist got some wheels in fucking motion too right now, and
hell yeah,
I am pumped. I hope a lot of them. I hope they all work out, and like, I can't wait to once they're like solid plans that I could fucking announce the stuff for, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I get so fucking excited. I'm like, ah, but I don't want to get excited, because I know if I've got five things going on that I think are going to be awesome, I know at least one of them's not going to happen. Right. It's going to be just too much going on with everything else. So I'm just like, I gotta
sort of like two things it can go. You can either like speak something into existence by just like saying it all the time that you make it happen. Or you can like ruin something by like committing it too soon.
Yeah. Like,
oh, I have this idea for this thing, then it never happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've done that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that.
I saw Growler down Merciless Graves on New Year's Eve, and she's like, oh, yeah, ideas are cheap. And I'm like, shit, I got so many fucking ideas and they're all cheap. I got to work.
That's awesome.
I really like kicked my ass. And I'm like, oh shit. Like all this stupid shit I've been thinking about in the back of my brain for like 2-3 years. I got to start actually like
doing
something about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
It's a half-baked idea that goes nowhere, which I have like more than enough of.
I do that a lot with my writing. I don't want to get stale. Like I feel like if I start forcing it, it's not going to be good. So I jump to something else. But then next thing you know, you have 10 things and you're like, fuck, I gotta finish at least one of these, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think being in unfinished states is a very stressful place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the chaotic brain of a creative, right? Like it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I envy the people that have the determination and just being able to focus and say, okay, I'm gonna work on just this until it's done. My brain's constantly going, okay, this is fun. Wait, hold on. I want to try this now. And so I'll start working on this and go, you know what? I'm going to put this on the hold real quick because I have this idea. And so I have like 17 things. I'm literally spinning plates and then running back to make sure they're not falling. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. Since we just mentioned Thou Merciless Graves real quick, I just want to shout out to Mizzen of Thou Merciless Graves, who wrote like a cyberpunk style novel. I picked it up when they played with Your Friends in Hell. It was the show at Faces. I forgot who else was on the bill. But I picked up Mizzen's book. It's called Razor Strike. That's cool that like people like finish their writing and put it out there. You know what I'm saying? I'll finish something and then I'll just shelve it for the rest of my life. I need to start putting stuff out there and getting stuff, you know, going. And Mizzen wrote a really nice note that I'm not going to read because it was to me, but yeah, if you could pick, I'm going to put a link in the show notes for this.
Nice.
For the book. So people can go and check it out. And it takes place in New England, which is cool. Cause so it's like futuristic in New England, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen it at the table and we've talked about it, but I haven't read it yet.
I saw it. I'm like, I can't not buy this right now. Like it was just like, I kept looking at it. So.
What's the name of the novel?
Razor Strike.
What's her name? What's the author's name? What's the name as the author?
I'm gonna butcher the last. It's Lee Sarpel. S-A-R.
Sarpel. Yeah.
P-E-L.
Yeah, I see it on Amazon. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to put a link so people, if people want to check it out, you know, or if you just want to, you know, someone who's, who does awesome stuff, like support them again in a different art form, you know, pick it pick up the book, you know, what's that? What's the line? Get the book. What is that? Is that a Shawshank Redemption? Shawshank Redemption.
Did you say Hocus Pocus?
Yeah, dude, because they're trying to get the book the whole movie.
No, there's like a scene where, I think it's that one. It's definitely not Hocus Pocus.
Are you sure it's not Hocus Pocus?
Well, I know what I'm thinking of isn't Hocus Pocus. Yeah, Jim, I'm gonna put you on the spot. Yeah. I'm gonna put you on the spot, buddy.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, tell us about, like, I don't know. I don't even know if you listen to the podcast, to be honest with you. So, but like, let me know. Like you've come out, you've hung out, you've gone to shows with us. We've done projects together.
What's
your experience like with all this? Like, how do you
working with you?
I guess not really working with me, but as opposed to like, just like the stuff, the ideas that we have over on this side, and like, you know what I mean? Like, are they fun? Are they fun to do? Or is it like, fuck, this is just another shoot? Like, so Jim, bit of history on Jim. Jim was a Hollywood star for a while.
Oh yeah. Here we go.
And what?
I mean, he was.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
Come on. Look at those glasses.
Come on. Look at those glasses. Yeah.
All right. So, but you know, seriously though, like, so you have a film background, right? You have a film background.
Yes.
You also love photography and I know you love like the outdoors, and I think you like music.
I love music.
Yeah. So, I mean, so like in your experience, like with all the projects you've done over the years, like where does the, and you could be, I want you to be fucking honest. If like something that we did didn't hit right, I want to know.
No, dude, everything I've done with you guys and everything we've done is a lot of, it's fun, dude. And when I get involved in projects, that's what I want. I don't want it to just be, all right, this is what we're doing. It's very rigid, clear cut. Like, these are the rules that you got to follow. The rules, we have rules that we follow because we got to get things done. But it's a lot of fun. It's an enjoyable thing where everybody gets involved, and that's what I like when I get involved in a project. Number one. Number two, coming out to you and doing projects out there. I love traveling and just getting involved in things where I'm not in my home. You know what I mean? And getting out there and exploring and experiencing, because Chris got me into a lot of this. He got me into a lot of these shows that I go to now. I'm with him. A lot of the shows we come out there to see and travel to see. And the artists that we see are not typically, it's not typically the type of music I would put on. But every time I go to these shows, I never go to a bad show.
Yeah.
It's all great. And it's a lot of fun. So when you can couple that in the projects that I'm involved in, is something I can get into and I'm helping out. And it's not just, okay, I'm watching, but I'm helping create this. I'm helping do this. Making it fun goes a long way, at least for me.
Nice.
And that's, and like I said, that's how it's always been.
So what did you see? Have you seen the final cut of The Evening With?
I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen parts of it. I keep going.
Chris, this guy's no better than Anthony. What are you doing with this guy?
No, because he shared an early cut of it. So I went through and I watched most of it when he sent the early cut. I think before he had all the titles in and the credits and all that.
Yeah.
And it looks, I'm telling you, man, United Theater and the venue we got to do that little project with the glass window and the street behind you and Michael outside. It's gorgeous, dude. Yeah. It looks so good. I'm happy with the way that came out. It was a lot of fun, dude. Just traveling, scoping. I was running around Westerly, Rhode Island while you guys getting B-roll footage while you guys were setting up inside the theater.
Yeah,
dude, it was a good time.
Cool. Well, get ready. There's more coming.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, what do you got, a guitar in your hand? Uh-oh, we lost Aria's audio.
Yeah, no, it's a big old fidget spinner.
Nice.
He was working at a record store. The dude just like gave this to her, and it's like this. I don't know. It's made in Finland. It's like this like classical guitar, but like it's really fucked up, and like the body of it is like a bowl because it's so warped.
Oh man!
Like pretty much like unfuck with the bowl, but it's fun to just like, I don't know. I'm like realizing more and more that it might be like some undiagnosed ADHD going on where I just like needed to have something in my hand. Like,
I thought you were getting ready to play a song for us.
I thought about writing a song today, but I couldn't come up with anything that didn't like suck. It's one thing to do something just to do something. It's another thing to do something that doesn't really like cut the mustard, you know.
Hey, could you talk real quick about the 7-inch singles you went out and did in New York?
I thought you were going to ask about my struggling artist bumper theme songs tracks that I recorded.
I got those too. I gave him all the Chris. Chris is supposed to make like a big montage.
Yeah, we're going to be plugging that in for sure.
So there's this company based in New York and they do live bands, the Lath Cut Records. And I was like, oh, I don't want to even bother trying to, this sounds like fun. It doesn't sound like we're going to like make any like serious money, but if we go, come back, like as a fun experience, like it'll be like a cool thing. I love collecting records. I love like cool artifacts in the universe, whatever. And so we went and we played, I think we did like 13 songs or 13 unique cuts direct to a live cut record that got sent to people. And the whole thing was really interesting because it was like, it was nice because it's like, sort of taking the DIY approach out a little bit because like, it's totally hands off. It's like, hey, you come, you play the song, we'll take care of everything.
Mm.
And I'm like, for once in my life, I'm like, okay, thank God.
But was there this added kind of pressure to be like, we only get one take, so we do it?
Not real, like maybe at the beginning, but like,
okay,
like for me, like I actually feel like added pressure when there's not that. So we've done this, the most recent Coffin Salesman record that we're very close to finishing has been very like meticulous, where it's like everything is very like lots of things done several times, like everything in time. Everything is there's an effort made to sort of be like correct, and I sort of like hate being correct, like as a musician I'm not really like super competent, so I'm like, yeah, like tempo, who cares?
Like
it's more about vibe. But the lineup we arranged for that, it was me, Chris, and Dana just doing guitar, clarinet, saxophone, which is a configuration I've grown to like really like. And so we recorded a bunch of songs. The biggest worry was running out of time because they like kind of, to make their things work, they book block after block after block.
Wow.
So it's like we have 2 hours to get to like 13 songs.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome though. Cause you're right. There's a magic to just going and playing it. Just go live and go.
Yeah. And I think like, I feel that way about a lot of things that like, I like, there's like a magic in like a take that like the take isn't like perfect. Like a good take is there's a right take and there's like a perfect take. And like, it's not always the same.
Yeah.
Like there's a human quality in music that isn't worth really processing out. And I think you can kind of like, overcorrect in 2024. Like you have the ability to do overcorrect, and I'm starting to learn that maybe like your first impulse is probably the correct one. And I found that like in like everything for the most part, but yeah, so that was a really unique experience. I was mostly just glad people got their records and it didn't sound like shit. And I didn't know because I didn't hear anything back. We maybe heard like 15 seconds of one song back just as a sample, but it wasn't like we listened to the song back after we cut everything. So it's like, cut a take, move on, take, move on.
That's kind of awesome, man, though. That's there's something special in that, if you ask me. I'd prefer something like that rather than something you spent a lot of I guess it depends, but for me, a band of like what you guys do, I'd need that live magic, knowing that I get this sitting there, the take after take, make sure this sounds right, make sure we're lining up the tempo, you have the metronome going, make sure we're all on time here. Okay, I get it, because you're building something in that kind of a product, but for me, it's always been that magic of that one take, that live. A huge fan of bands that go into studios and do live performance recording. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like a lot of that is just, yeah, it's kind of, I think about this a lot where it's like, you kind of want to get to the point where you're like playing music, not rehearsing music live.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's sort of like the difference. And I mean, rehearsing helps like to get you to that point, obviously, yeah. But it's like, there's a difference between like going up on stage and doing what you've rehearsed to do. And then like the shows that feel good, or like when you feel like you're playing music, like when you feel like you're like making art with people, like you're not, you're thinking less about your cues and more thinking about like,
the just feeling,
the song and the feeling of the song. Like that's in my ideal world where I like to be. Sometimes I get there, sometimes I don't.
I thought the show last weekend was very special, and
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, all around every band, but like I was, every time I see Coffin Salesman perform, it's always a different experience. It's always a great experience, but it's like, it blows my mind how, like, it's always something new though, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's good. It's weird. I don't think about it necessarily that much that way, but it's funny because I looked the day after, like, I was like running back like over the set list we played. I'm like, oh, we've only played one song that's recorded and released. Like, we should maybe think about our strategy.
That's awesome.
I mean, I don't know. Like,
yeah, but
it's never going to be a band of hits, you know? I'm very like anti-hits. I'm a deep cut person.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I feel like you play these songs enough, though. You play these songs enough that like people know them, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the weird thing. It's like, that's kind of a wild thing, but it's like, it's really cool because I remember, like, the Old Edison, probably like my favorite band. Like, they had for years songs they never even recorded, but people would be like screaming every word to all those songs.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
It's not even that, like, some people had them, it's like recordings of those songs don't even exist. It's just that like people like just absorbed it by like seeing the band.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
If I can even like be a fraction of that point, that's like crazy.
Because, well, go ahead.
No. I can go on for the rest of my life. But yeah, you
know. I was just gonna say. So the lathe cut that I had gotten, it inspired me to do a fucking Instagram live for like 10 minutes and just rant about it. And people liked it. So I got to have to start doing more of those for the social media. Right, Chris?
Yeah. It was good. Yeah. Social media was interesting this year. I did a little thing with that too. I told you, I did a little thing where I put together the top five most interaction posts on Instagram. Like, what post did we put out in this past year that had the most interactions? I'm going to go from bottom to top. Number five, we gave out some Jeff Bousquet love on August 16th. We did a post where we were just telling people about, hey, yeah, you hear him on the round table, but guess what? He's a great musician as well. Check out his Bandcamp. And we put some of his stuff up. So that got some good interaction. Number four, a clip of Trev on the Drowns video.
Oh, that Jesus got some Christ.
Love. That got some love this year, dude. You had the opening bit that they had you do for the Drowns video. Number three, we did one where we were basically telling people to check out some of our past guests and check out their accounts. So this one got a lot of love, and the people we featured on there was Coffin Salesman, Michael Caine, The Morning Afters, KCUF, CE Skidmore, Squally, Green Thumb, Dave Strong, Tyler Seaton, and Loser Circle. Oh, Jesse Ahern and J-A-T-K, Jack, what was his?
Jack.
I can't remember what his.
Just Jack.
Yeah, Jack.
Yeah.
That was number three. Number two, the second most interactions on Instagram this year was the Roundtable Best of 2023 post.
Really? Okay.
Featuring albums by Nation of Language, Jewels and the Rollers, Thou Merciless Graves, Keep Flying, Cape Crush, Danny Carney, Chainsaw Symphony, Curse Words, KCUF, Miracle Blood, Iron Roses, Blind Adam and the Federal League, Homefront, and Conservative Military Image. And the number one post on Instagram this year had the most interaction.
Drum roll.
Was the post I put up for Coffin Salesman live at Hangar on the Hudson in Albany.
Oh, nice.
7/1/23, dude.
Nice.
That had the most interactions this year on Instagram.
That's awesome.
That's a good show.
I think on my personal one, I have a video of Ken playing drums at Faces in one of the shows.
Nice.
And that's like next to the only other one that's got more than that is like there's one of like Tula where I have like a Mona Marth in the background and she's taking a shit.
It'd be like that. I gotta jump off, but I'm so happy to be on talking to you guys.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you.
And when you said the Squally Green Thumb thing, that just made me think of one more thing I want to plug. It's not actually the show I have coming up that I'm playing Squally Green Thumb, even though that's unintentionally plugged. But the second best record I've ever played on is the Squally Seltzer Orchestra. And if you haven't heard it, check it out. I swear to God, actually, it's one of the few records that I've played on where I'm like, oh, this sounds good. Like I would listen to it.
Mm.
It's not just like rock and roll where it's like rocking, but it's like, oh, I could like listen to this. It's like,
yeah, I'm going to have to find that one.
I can like listen to it. And so I just want to plug that record real quick. And then that's all. It's a, you know, because if we're going for the deep cut lifestyle, other than that.
One more thing before you head out of here, Arya. I just want to say thank you for everything that you do in supporting the podcast and everything we do and all of our talks, you know, over the last couple of years, whether it be like, you know, for this format or just like at a show, you know. I appreciate you, man. And I really appreciate the gift you gave me for Christmas, the one of one of the
one of one.
The Drinking with Giles and Venomous Blood two-track seven-inch that you got.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it needs to find a home one day. So.
Well, it found one. It found one. I love that. It's like one of my favorite pieces because I know there's only one of them.
Yeah, it's – yeah, yeah. No, I'm good. I'm glad. I knew I was saving it for something. <You know>?
Nice. Arya, appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Hey, it was good talking to you guys.
See ya.
Take care.
Oh, that was great.
Heck yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Arya, and like we've talked so much about so many things like over the last couple of years, and honestly, like he's very he inspires me with my writing. Like he's like I've said because he's said it on the podcast before. Like, hey, I'll read whatever anyone wants to send me, and I've sent him stuff, and like he's gave me great feedback, and like, he makes me want to put stuff out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude, he's a great dude. I remember the first time you told me you got to check out Coffin Salesman when you and I were first kind of, you know, like getting to know each other and sending each other music, and I remember just being like, this is so different, right? Because his voice was so different from what I'd heard before. Mm. And so I was just so, I loved it. I was intrigued, right? And then from there, it was like everything I saw, got to see them live, got to interact with them, talk with them, met him at your house show. All the way to the point when I went and saw him in Albany, right? Like he came over and was talking to me. We both were standing in the crowd together watching Turf and Turf, like literally like nudging each other. And he was like leaning over to me going like, what is happening here? I was like, dude, this is insane. Like, so you know what I mean? Like, yeah, Ario's good people, man.
He is a lover of music. Like,
oh yeah. I love getting stuff from him. He sends me messages all the time being like, check this out. You might like it. And it's always something so out there and different. When I say out there, not weird, but just something that I did not expect. You know what I mean? And
then it's probably something you would have never listened to.
Always good. It's almost always.
Oh, it's something I would never find if it wasn't for him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I try to do the same. Like if I come across something where I think it'll come to me and I'll go, oh, Ario like this. I sent him Little Cakes, Jim. I sent him.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I knew he loved her stuff.
Oh, he loved it.
Yeah, he liked it.
I think I was coming back from your house the other night after a football game and I had that album on.
Nice, dude.
I had sent, so I went on the Bandcamp app the other day just randomly. And the, like, you know how like the main page will have like suggestions? They had this album and it was just like a single out for the album. And the band is called Slift, S-L-I-F-T. And I checked it out and I was like, this is some Arya stuff. So I sent it to him and he was like, this is really good. And then we're looking at, like, we're talking about it. And like, so the album drops like the end of that week. I pre-order it. It's a double LP. It's a double LP.
Jeez.
It's eight songs.
Holy
really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Like these songs average about 10 minutes a piece, 9.5 minutes a piece. There's a couple ones that are over, like they're 12 and a half minutes, but mostly it's like 9.5, 8.5, 9:40, 9:41.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I was, and he's like, this is good. I'm like, I'm going to have to fucking buy this. Like, yeah, it came in the mail today. I got it today. So.
Hey, nice. That's awesome. Nice.
A double LP that is, yes.
Stuff for folks to listen to on Chopping It Up, because we're going to talk about that, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. So we're winding down here. Do we start? Yeah. Do we want to start announcing things or
what's coming up? Yes. Talk about what's coming up. First, let's push Patreon. Yeah. Here. I want to keep pushing Patreon because it's not only that you have these little mini episodes on your main flagship show feed here that they get for free, but we're also starting to produce different pieces of content and all new shows that are only on Patreon.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So,
ooh, exciting.
We've got some projects in the works. We're doing, I'm going to let Chris talk about those. Like a lot. One of the things we're going to do, we're going to try it. I'm going to start it off with it, is I'm going to put together like a radio show, like a radio.
Yeah. Hour, radio show.
A
hell
radio
yeah.
hour. And it's going to be on Patreon, on Patreon only. And it's going to be like, the first one's going to be like, you know, friends of the show and stuff like that. And I'll have me talking like a radio show, like you would with a radio show. Another thing I want to do, I want to get back into that. We did in the maybe 2021. I did this, a mixtape. I did a mixtape with the music that had been on the podcast, and
I remember that.
I did it for the movie Sellers.
You told me about
benefit.
This. Yes.
Yeah. So, and what I did was like I interwoven like parts of the episode with the with whoever's music was getting played. So
almost like your artist spotlight, the way they talk and then the music
kind of
song. Yeah.
So it reminded me of the days like WAAF out of Boston. I talk about this radio station all the time because it was so iconic. They would they put out like compilations, and they would have that. They would have like little intros from the radio shows in between the songs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I want to do another one of those. I don't know how it's going to work logistically, but I want to do another one of those, and hopefully I can get enough people's permission to use their songs for that one.
That'd be cool.
And I'd like to put that one on cassette again, because that's what I did with the Trash Bash one. It was on cassette.
That's cool, dude.
Yeah, and I could do it all from my house, and I have, you know, I have like the J cards.
Now, are you going to handwrite all of them like you used to do old back in the day when you did make a mixtape? You handwrite like the track listings and decorate that shit and send it out.
I don't remember what I did.
Or are you gonna have
one.
It printed?
I might just print out a little thing,
depending on how many it is, dude. I'd get in on helping out making it actually personalized, handwritten.
Yeah. But I have a ton of J cards, you know, like the cards that sit in there
with the
Struggling Artist logo on them already. So
hey, all right, cool.
I bought like 200 of them for 3 cassettes. So I'd like to do something like that. But yeah, so the radio show thing is going to be like a little trial run to see how that goes.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm looking forward to that because it inspired. I have always wanted to do something like that. And maybe we'll have two.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have two. It'd be like two different radio shows,
that
right?
That would be cool, yeah.
You have the morning drive. I'll have the overnight show.
Yeah, and I just shooting from the hip here. But like, I'd like to do more stuff with the people that are on Patreon as well. Like, you know, have them, you know, do something and we can put it out there for them and stuff like that too. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
We also have for Patreon coming up the companion episodes, Struggling Artist companion episodes. Basically, after you release an episode, whoever it is you talk to, that week, you and I will be meeting to talk about that episode. And I'm going to ask you some questions based on, as a listener, when I listen to it, there's a lot of times when I'm like, oh, I wonder what else they were like. What were they like? How did they come across? And what did you get out of this? You know, and when they said this, I thought that was important. Let's talk about this, just you and I, because I really think this is an important topic. So whatever it is that we're going to get out of each of those episodes, it's always going to reference that week's episode. Yeah. So yeah, Struggling Artist companion episodes coming.
We might do some legacy episodes too. We'll call them the legacy
episodes.
We'll
look back. Yeah.
We'll go back, because there's been a lot of good episodes.
Like, oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, for sure.
That would be cool. And then the other thing we were talking about was the music video thing.
Yeah, we did play around with an idea of doing a Beavis and Butthead style kind of music video.
Like Mystery Science Theater 3000, yeah. But with
so
music
we might
videos?
Pull that off. We might pull that off and watch some old school music videos or current ones and do some. That's going to take some like working around because we got to work with Zoom. We got to figure out how it comes across live, latency, all that stuff. But that might be fun to play with too.
Yeah. So and then,
we have a lot of ideas. We have a lot of fun things coming for Patreon.
I think so. And here's the thing about Patreon. I know I'm like selling you like, hey, donate to us. You know what I mean? But like a lot of this stuff, like when you guys don't like, so last year, the entire 2022 contributions went to, you know, the evening with, like I paid the musicians, I had to pay the sound guy, you know, and everyone who's a patron, by the time it was being edited, whoever was a patron got an executive producer tag or something.
Except
for Mike Grattan.
No. Oh, maybe I have to re-upload the new version. I fixed that.
Oh,
fixed
did you?
That.
Yeah,
I
yeah, a, yeah,
yeah. I fixed
That's
it.
That's all right. We love Mike and he's okay with it. He was okay with it. But like, so I want to do more for the patrons too. It's just hard. Like money's the thing, right? Money's the thing. So, but like, so beginning of this year, I had gotten a little little quantity of records from Loser Circle
Yeah.
So Loser Circle, and I love those guys. I love you guys to death. Thank you so much for letting us use The Great Illusion of Time as our intro music. And and going into 2024, they're allowing us to use it again. Nice. But so I bought like enough records for the people of the Patreon, right? The thing is, like, some people already had it, right? So I had to get them an alternate one. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I do, like,
we do the extras.
I'm trying to do as much as I can, but like this, at the end of the day, this stuff costs money. We're making better things happen, and more of that is like, you know, and the more we do that, obviously it costs more money.
Yeah.
Right? I fund a lot of this out of pocket. That's what I guess what I'm saying.
I also think that it also helps to kind of push us and motivate us to create more creative shows and more entertaining content, things that are going to draw them, right? So we do chopping it up, and that's just you and me bush bullshit, man. We talk about this, we talk about that. Sometimes we talk about what we're planning for the show. Sometimes we talk about somebody stalking us. Sometimes we talk about dealing with snow. Christ. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, listeners, if you haven't been on Patreon, go and check it out. I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of good stuff.
If you want to hear about how horrible my love life is.
Bro, you're going to hear a lot of stuff that you never would have heard before. But yeah,
Trust me, check
that out.
It's well worth the $5 a month to hear terrible my relationships are.
We're coming with some new stuff for 2024, so I feel like it's definitely going to be well worth the bucks they're paying.
Yeah, so we got it. Right now we have $5. I believe we have a two-tier, like a $2 tier, a $3 tier, and a $5 tier. And
yeah.
And again, like you know, if the people in the $5 tier are the ones that get the records, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like but like, you know, I do I appreciate everyone who contributes, and it helps us with getting better stuff, like doing bigger things. Like we were just talking about putting on shows and stuff like that. That costs money as well.
For sure.
So like I'm not asking, like I'm asking you, like that's part of this whole community thing. Like by being a patron, like you're not helping me pay my bills, you're helping me keep the Struggling Artist stuff crisp, you know,
and keep going with getting more artists, more albums, more new music out there.
I should say
it helps that community too, let's be honest. You're helping pay for albums, you're doing that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And another thing I like to say too is like we're doing video now as well. So video will be, I'm going to try to figure out how to chop them all up into clips. Maybe I'll put them long form on.
Nice.
I'll put them long form on the Patreon maybe, and then chop them up into clips for like YouTube and the reels.
And then so, you know, we're not trying to say, hey, you have to do that. But I mean, at the end of the day, you want to give people who are paying a little bit more. So the $5 ones get the videos. They'll be able to watch the videos for chopping it up, and any of these extra ones as well.
Yeah, I think, we're just, you know, we're trying to give as much as we can to the Patreon. This is the year, 2024 is the year of the Patreon. Let's grow this motherfucker.
All right, I'm all down for it.
Maybe we'll make a bigger tier, too, and like something, we'll do something. I don't know.
There you go.
So a couple other things, too, I just want to shoot off before we can get out of here. This has been a long episode, and I know. Again, the Record Club, if you're into records and you're into the music you hear on the podcast or that style of music, check it out. It's, you know, this is a lot of fun. I love doing it. And heck like, yeah. I want to keep this thing going as well. You know, if I can build this thing up enough, we could press records. Like that was the whole goal. Like I was, that was Mark's goal for me. He's like, you get 100 people to 200 people in this record club, you could just get records pressed, you know, and it's going to make, you know, it's going to make life a lot easier. You know what I'm saying? And it's going to help out a lot of bands. If I can go to a band and be like, I'm going to press 100 copies of your record. Like that's a fucking huge, you're helping out.
You're helping these people
out. You're helping out these musicians, these artists.
For sure.
And if you're into records, you know, come on over, see what we got. Like, just give us a shot, man. Just give us a shot. You don't like it, you know, you're only out 25 bucks with tax or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I'm trying to think, there's anything else that we need to announce right now. What do you think?
No, I mean, like we do have a lot of things, but we don't want to do that thing, like you said before, where we start announcing it and then it doesn't come to fruition. So, but the stuff we do have, the stuff we talked about tonight, I feel like that's a lot to kind of look forward to for the year.
I think so. Man. I want to shout out Mark Lind again over at Stateline Records for continuously sponsoring the show. I want to shout out the band Loser Circle again for continuously letting us use their music as part of the show. I want to shout out Bree Myers. She's now doing Punk Around and Find Out. It's an online zine. And they are so good over there with the struggling artist stuff. They're always fucking sharing stuff and reposting it and putting it up, like, you know, so like as far as I'm concerned, like they're part of this whole thing too. Make sure you head over there. It's Punk. I'll have the links to all this stuff. Punk Around. I think it's pafindout.com or something like that, but I'll have all that stuff.
They have a Facebook account as well. I don't know about Instagram, but I know for sure I follow them on Facebook.
Yeah. So, I mean, just, you know, check out Hardly Awesome Media, what Chris and Jim has going on over there, you know?
Yeah, go check out The Evening After with Michael Caine. The Evening with Michael Caine and The Morning Afters, but it's just Michael Caine at Hardly Awesome Media on YouTube.
That sounds like an erotic video, The Evening After.
We have a we have a little highlight reel, too, from when we saw the Ilix, that went to the Ilix Fest.
Oh,
that's
nice.
On there. There's a couple of live performances of a local band as well around here. I think I've got Goodbye Metro there as well.
Oh, so cool. There's some
stuff to check out, some music, and there's a lot more coming. We have a whole lot of things planned, and there's going to be a lot more things showing up on that channel.
Do you have anything you want to like tease that's going on or not yet?
Just keep their eyes open and ears open. There's some fun things coming. It's kind of tied in with what you got coming as well. So this is going to be a bigger year, dude. 2023 felt like it was a lot. I feel like next year when we look back at 2024, we're going to be like, holy shit, how did we do all that?
We're going to be like an hour of just reading off things we did.
That's it. It's going to be a 3-hour episode next year.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Yeah, I mean, we're keeping this thing going, you know, like I said, till I'm 50, you know, then it's lights out.
And then he's done. He's turning off the mic and walking away.
No, I'm turning off my lights. I'm out.
Ah, stop it. You can't talk like that.
Chris will take over. Chris will take over this show eventually. So
anyway.
Yeah, just kidding. I'm not going anywhere. I want to say to everyone who listens or supports us, reviews us, or like, you know, sends us messages and all that stuff. Thank you so much. We're going to get out of here with a bunch of a few voicemails that we had gotten from folks.
Yeah.
But before we do, I just want to, we got one text from on the hotline. Should I talk about the hotline?
Not right. I mean, I guess.
All right. Well, first I'm going to read the text message. It says Blind Adam here. Just wanted to check in and say thank you so much to everyone at Bipolar Records and Trevor, the Struggling Artist Podcast and the Record Club for all the love and support. Solidarity forever. Destroy fascism. Free Palestine. Eat pizza. I love
it, dude.
I
love
him so much.
So good.
I love him so much. So, so the hotline, we got the hotline going. And if you guys want to call us and just, you know, leave us a message or whatever, feel free to do that. The hotline, I can never remember the hotline number. I always have to look it up. I should just
we'll put this out there. We're not gonna sell your information. We don't.
Right.
So it's always funny when I hear you say it, dude, because you're always like, I'm never gonna call you, and no. It just sounds like you're being like,
I don't even like calling my mother.
You. But like, you know? we don't use this number to call you. Like, we're definitely just, like, we want to hear feedback. We want to hear thoughts, comments, and if you want us to play it on air, we'll play it on air. Mm-hmm. If you don't want us to, just say you don't want to. The number is 774-570-1552.
And that's text or call.
774-570-1552.
I love how you picked up on that cue. Thank you. And listen, if you have something you want to get off your chest for one of the Struggling With Ourselves episode, we will never out your name. You can email us, trev@thestrugglingartistpodcast.com. And we will talk about it on there. Well, sometimes I'll have guests with me. Sometimes I'll be alone. Like I said, look forward to a new episode of that coming out in February. I guess that's it. Yeah. We're at the end.
That's it. That's the end of the show.
All right. And that's it.
Sweet.
It's time to get out of here. Hold on. How do I do this? We're going to go like this.
Hit stop.
All right. Recording stopped.